This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in today for Anthony Brooks.
There are a couple things I've always loved as the signs of spring in Boston. The snow disappears, more or less, and sailboats appear on the Charles, their white fins zigzagging along the water near the Longfellow Bridge, which is why I was thrilled to talk with Jeffrey Wolfe recently. He's the author of a book called The Hard Way Around. It's about a Gloucester fellow named Joshua Slocum, one of the most capable sailors ever to lay a hand on the tiller. But, you know, as sailors do, before we got to talking about Slocum, Jeffrey Wolfe and I got a bit distracted swapping our own sailing yarns.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I ply the waters of the Charles, though, so nowhere near as adventurous.
It certainly can be.
That you know, is true.
A drowning is a drowning wherever it takes place.
Yeah. Do you sail yourself?
Yes, I do.
Oh, and do you have a boat?
Yes, I have a boat a little smaller than Slocum Spray. It's 33 feet.
Did you ever sail it single-handed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Oh, yeah. But one of the reasons there isn't a hint that I've ever been in a sailboat in my life in my book is precisely because what I do had nothing to do with what he did.
And what Joshua Slocum did in 1895 was set sail alone from Gloucester aboard the Spray, a 36-foot gaff-rigged sloop he'd built mostly by himself. 3 years, 46,000 miles, and many adventures and tragedies later, Slocum landed in Newport, Rhode Island, the first man ever to circumnavigate the world on his own. Slocum wrote about his voyage in a famous book called Sailing Alone Around the World. In his biography of the sailor, Jeffrey Wolfe dipped into the passage where Slocum describes his departure from Gloucester.
And he writes, "The weather was mild on the day of my departure from Gloucester. On the point ahead, as the Spray stood out of the cove, was a lively picture, for the front of a tall factory was a flutter of handkerchiefs and caps. Pretty faces peered out of the windows from the top to the bottom of the building, all smiling bon voyage. Some hailed me to know where away and why alone. Why? The wind freshened off the point, and skipping along smoothly, the Spray was soon off Thatcher's Island Lights. I sat and considered the matter all over again, and asked myself once more whether it were best to sail beyond the ledge and rocks at all."
Jeffrey Wolfe, in 1895, tell me what kind of person says, "I am going to go 40,000 miles alone in a sailboat around the world."
An audacious one, first of all, and secondly, one who was absolutely confident that he could manage anything at sea if he were alone, unless he had bad luck. And if he had bad luck, it was his feeling anybody could have bad luck. But he had been experienced in boats since he was 13 years old, and he was confident that he could do it.
To imagine a man in 1895 in the middle of the Pacific with nothing but thousands of miles of water around him at night, with the stars and the moon above him, it is just an image that almost gives you chills. But how is it that Joshua Slocum became such a master of the sea?
Well, he had a very harsh father, and he was put to work. He was taken out of school in the third grade, and he was put to work tanning leather in his father's boot shop, a perfectly Dickensian childhood. But he ran away at 13. He was raised, I would say luckily for him, in Nova Scotia on Digby Island at the mouth of the Bay of Fundy. So the sea was as natural a medium for him and for everyone who lived there.
The Slocums originally hailed from Massachusetts. They were Quakers, and when the Revolutionary War began, they refused to fight and so had to flee to Nova Scotia. They drifted back in the mid-19th century, and as Jeffrey Wolfe says, there are a lot of Slocums around Massachusetts now.
The idea of picking up and leaving where you were to go somewhere else because necessity commanded you to do it, that was in his bones.
So Joshua Slocum first went to sea at the age of 13. By the time he was 19, he crossed to Liverpool on the British merchant ship Tangier. So how did those early crossings set him on the journey which he would take much later in his life?
You could take a raw, uneducated young man and put him on a ship, and if he was not a drunkard, if he didn't amuse himself by stabbing his shipmates with knives, if he was a bright young boy, he would be recognized and promoted, as it were, up through the ranks very, very quickly. And that was Slocum's story. Slocum had seen, the first time he went aboard on his journey to Liverpool, he had seen his shipmates being carried to the ship in wagons, where they were piled like cordwood, drunk in the wagons. And he took one look at that and decided right then that was not for him.
No, neither rum nor the lash for Joshua Slocum. Instead, he went on to captain ships transporting pianos to South America, fishing off the Alaskan coast, and braving a forest of masts and canopies of canvas in a crowded Sydney harbor, which is where, at age 26, Slocum met the love of his life, his wife, Virginia Albertina Walker.
And until she died in Buenos Aires in her 30s, they had 7 children together. She went everywhere with him. She was on every ship that he sailed on. She taught the kids how to read. She played the piano. They actually had pianos on the boats. She was a beautiful woman with extraordinary eyes. They look like eagle's eyes.
Virginia died in 1884. Slocum had also lost 3 children at sea. Slocum was never the same again. But a few years pass, and Slocum, though still bereft, rediscovers his love of sailing, rediscovers his love of the wind and the freedom.
And as he put it, the joy of the thing itself, the sailing, came back to him in a rush.
And so then in 1895, he does just that. He sets sail from Gloucester, just him aboard the Spray, and goes just under 3 years, some 46,000 miles around the world, including around some of the most difficult to navigate bodies of water, even if you have an entire huge vessel. How did he do it? How did he, for example, go around the Straits of Magellan and Cape Horn?
Amazing story, I think. He did it, I think, mainly profiting from his sense that the sea was not an antagonist or an enemy. He was in the Strait of Magellan, it seems like, centuries there, trying to get through and then blown back around the Horn. The Strait of Magellan is arguably the ugliest body of water in the world. He just kept going, I mean, almost like an inch at a time. It was the better part of 6 months, and he made it.
3 years later, Slocum landed in Newport, the first man ever to sail solo around the world. Elsewhere, he'd been treated like a hero, much as Charles Lindbergh later would be. But at home, no one cared, in part because Americans had already traded the romance of wind and sail for the industriousness of coal and steam. Joshua Slocum undertakes these great sailing adventures at pretty much what is the sunset of the age of sail. And steam is really the rising power on the seas. And yet Slocum remains almost sort of deliberately antiquated in his passion for wind power. Why is it that he stuck to sailing when steamships could have gotten him where he wanted to go that much faster?
I think the most important word you have uttered is the word deliberately. I mean, he was absolutely deliberate in his insistence that he was not going to spend his life in steamships. He found them noisy and dirty and uninteresting.
So I can't decide whether it's beautifully tragic or just tragic that in the end, Joshua Slocum may have been done in by steam. In November 1908, Joshua Slocum set sail from Martha's Vineyard. The steam shipping lanes were crowded by then, No one knows exactly what happened, but one theory has it that he was run down by an iron-hulled steamer. That in effect, as Jeffrey Wolfe writes, this last great sailor of Gloucester was murdered by modernity.
And then the other thing, through the sadness and tragedies that he endured, and he endured a great many we haven't discussed today, there's this joy in what he calls the love of the thing itself, the sailing. This is a man who not only lived by the sea and profited from it and suffered by it, but he absolutely loved it. It was his medium. He should have been a fish.
Jeffrey Wolfe is author of The Hard Way Around, The Passages of Joshua Slocum. There's a picture of Joshua Slocum and an excerpt of Jeffrey Wolfe's book at our website, radioboston.org.
And that's it for Radio Boston today. On tomorrow's show, a couple of doses of science, one fun, one serious.
The fun one, a history of hacks at MIT.
And here's the serious one, men's health. There's a new wave of thinking that says the biggest challenge to keeping guys healthy is that, well, we're guys. Masculinity and its apparently detrimental impact on men's health. That's tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.